rejected me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back, they made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. In this psalm, we sing about the persecution of God's people and about God's victory over the persecutors. And we pray for God to frustrate their efforts. The psalm easily divides into two parts, the first four verses and then verses 5-8. The first part employs the picture of the people of God as a man who reflects back on his long lifetime of suffering oppression. That's emphasized by the repetition, many a time they have afflicted me, in verse 1. Verse 2, many a time they have afflicted me. From my youth, all through his lifetime, he sees himself as being under affliction. And this is intended to represent the sufferings of the people of God throughout the ages, especially reflecting back on the youth of the nation when they suffered under the oppression of the Egyptians. It uses the imagery of plowing to emphasize the devastating nature of these afflictions and how difficult they were to endure. Though this is the characteristic experience of the people of God, there's a very important word in the middle of verse 2. Like the "but God" in Ephesians 2, here after recounting the afflictions of God's people, the psalmist says, yet they have not prevailed against me. Though there has been attempt after attempt to destroy the people of God and much persecution, yet that persecution has come to nothing. Again and again, God has delivered his people from the oppressor. And that's again expressed in terms of the picture that's given of the plowing and of the being under the yoke of a harsh master. God has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. And there's a theological truth which is important for us to understand in connection with this deliverance, and that is in verse 4, that the Lord is righteous, which here especially emphasizes the fact that God is faithful to his covenant to deliver those who are under his care. God will be their defender and he will set them free. Now, this testimony of affliction is the experience of many of our brothers now in our own time who suffer persecution around the world. And when we sing, we not only sing in sympathy with them, but we also sing in unity with them. We are identified with them. We sing with them in Psalm 129, the song of the persecuted church throughout the ages. And that's brought forth in the psalm in a very deep truth by means of this repetition of me. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Many a time they have afflicted me. The powers plowed on my back. Although there were many people through the ages who suffered, yet they are all considered as one. And that truth is really revealed. The reason for that unity between the people of God is really fully revealed in the New Testament as the unity we have with our head. What was it the Apostle Paul, who was then Saul and persecuting the church, what did he hear from Jesus? The question was, why are you persecuting me? And so all of the oppression and all of the persecution is actually falling on Jesus. He gave his back to those who struck him. He won the victory for us, for by his stripes we are healed. So when we sing this psalm, we sing not only with our persecuted brothers around the world in unity with them, but we sing with Jesus himself, who suffered at the hands of men and who won the victory. Then the last part of the psalm tells us about who the persecutors are and what their end will be. What sort of people are these? How would you characterize their opposition? Is it merely genocide, ethnic hatred, or is it something deeper than that? Verse 5, it makes clear what the opposition is. It is those who hate Zion. It is hatred for those whom God loves. God loves the gates of Zion, Psalm 87. But here, these are people who hate Zion. Just as Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you. So the concentration of persecution is upon those who are hated for being the people of God. Now that's a dangerous position to be in, to fight against God, to hate God. And the last part of the psalm gives us, in the words of the scripture, a way to cry out to God in the face of such persecution. It gives us words to speak from God himself about the persecutor. And it prays in verse 5 that they would be put to shame and turn back. All of their intentions come to nothing, so they're ashamed of them. May they turn away from this path. This also uses imagery in the last part of the psalm. This imagery from the nature of their roofs. They had flat roofs, and because of the composition of the material in the flat roofs, grass would grow up on the roof. But this is not grass which would flourish. It was a hot climate. There wasn't much for the grass to grow on. It would wither away. And that picture is intended to teach us the futility of opposition to God. There's nothing useful or profitable that comes from it. It's not like you could go out and harvest the grass on your rooftop. That's the contrast in the last part of the psalm. It's not as if you would see the blessing of a great harvest. The persecutors of God come to nothing in the end. It is vain opposition to God. It is foolish and empty. And so I hope, especially as we hear of the persecution of the church around the world, that we would not be afraid or fearful. God is the one who has overthrown the persecutors from time immemorial, and he will still act to care for his people. Let us not fear them, but know that in the end they will come to nothing. So let's sing Psalm 129. We'll be singing it through the month, and there's only one selection in the Psalter. Let's stand and sing Psalm 129.